Ladies and gentlemen, friends, and open-minded people, wherever you live, across the United States of America, Europe, and the world, this is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. Never has human rights been more important than right now. And if you're a European American or European, never has it been more vital to stand up for our rights, our heritage, our freedoms, everything we hold dear, even our very existence. We have our existence, our living existence in the world right now, threatened by these insane Jewish supremacists who are controlling American foreign policy, who are controlling most of the world's media, that are cheerleading this war, these endless wars, for a Jewish hegemony in the world, for Jewish supremacy. That's what it's really all about. Norman Finkelstein is right when he says that it's not just Zionism. I don't like the term. You know, you're talking about anti-Zionism. Because Zionism is a very fluid, it's a very amorphous term. It's not specific. What is a Zionist? Is a person that just wants to go live in Israel, or is a person that's trying to genocide the Palestinian people? Well, the answer is, of course, it's the same Zionism as trying to genocide the Palestinian people. But the same Zionism that's trying to genocide Palestinian people, and by the way, the Ukrainian people. Palestinians, Ukrainians, Russians, you know what, something they've got, you know, they got something very much in common. There's a common denominator there. And you know what it is? You just think about this for a second. The common denominator is these are all Gentiles. These are all non-Jews. And we have a Jewish elite, a Jewish global elite, that is creating this genocide in Gaza. Massive, horrific genocide. Mostly children dead. That has ethnically cleansed Palestine. The same way the Jewish elite has led the mass invasions of Europe by non-Europeans. It's always a divide and conquer strategy for them. And the same Jews who are doing this genocide in Gaza, destruction of the genes, the Palestinian people, because they're the wrong heritage, they're of the wrong ethnos, they're of the wrong ethnic group, racial group, really. Because Jews are not simply what we think of as Jews. They're not like Judeans that might be talked about in the Old Testament or the New. These Jews today have 2,000 years behind them since the time of Christ and a little bit before. They've been inbreeding extremely. It's amazing how strict they were. They do allow some inbreeding. But even that, as I wrote about in my awakening, it's shocking to read it. When you read these Jewish think tanks and you read these Jewish prognosticists and people who are, you know, plotting Jewish history, they're all Jewish supremacists. They, whether or not they're Zionist or whether they're not simply typical Judaistic or Judaist or Jewish religious believers, are Jewish secular believers, the Jewish religion has helped shape the Jewish people. And how has it shaped it? It's bred a people endogamously. That's one of those fancy scientific words, endogamous, in the sense that they've really accented and created an environment for Jews in the synagogues in Europe and all over the world that have created the most genetically similar people on earth. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Of all the different races on earth, you know, if you get the average white person, there's a lot of white people who are Greek or Russian or Polish, German, French, Anglo, or Saxon, or Irish, or Scottish, or whatever they might be. There is a lot of diversity. And most people in the world, the average person in the world, is the chance of them being a fifth cousin, which is a very close genetic relation, a fifth cousin or a fourth cousin is about 200 to 1 or more. 200 to 1. But the average Jew in the world, even though they're in 120 countries or so, maybe more in terms of just whether you're talking about one Jew or a sizable Jewish population, these Jews are related together like fourth or fifth cousins. That's not what I'm saying. Ostrer, that's the leading Jewish geneticist in the world, one of the leading geneticists on planet Earth, who says this, and many other Jews. And they talk about the fact that this is because Jewish ritual, which was really honed and accented about the same time as Christ, maybe 100 years before Christ. And they became, and they did what they did. They took whatever scripture they had, they took whatever oral tradition, and then they fashioned it to support Jewish supremacism, which is, again, exactly the opposite of what Jesus Christ was saying for mankind. Because the message of Jesus Christ was that you have love and respect for and kindness for and the golden rule for everybody, not just Jews. If you like the Ten Commandments, and most Christians do, if you like the Ten Commandments, you know, you believe in the Ten Commandments when it says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, you believe that applies to any human being. But when Christ lived, he brought out the fact that that is not the way that the Jewish establishment, who hated Christ, but that's not the way the Jewish establishment looked at a person who was a neighbor. A neighbor in the Old Testament, or the Jewish interpretation of it, if you like to say it that way, definition by the people who controlled the Jewish faith, believed that, and we'll be very straight about this, that the only neighbors, only people who are truly neighbors to Jews are fellow Jews. A neighbor is a fellow Jewish countryman. And in about the second century BC, before Christ, they started weaponizing Judaism. They brought back extreme rituals of Judaism, which, talk about apartheid, it was like apartheid to 1,000 magnitudes. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, Jews had all these traditions that they couldn't eat certain foods. It separated from Gentiles. They couldn't sit at a table with Gentiles. They couldn't drink from the same wine bottle. They couldn't eat certain foods that Gentiles ate, like pork or catfish or shellfish. They all these things to separate people, and they sure in the hell couldn't marry them. That was the biggest crime of all. And if a Jew did that, he was expelled from the community in a Gentile world. And he was expelled from that community. Judaism is the ultimate racial supremacism. What became the religion of Judaism became a religion of ultimate supremacism. That Jews are supreme to all the people in the world, that Jews have a right actually to rule the world. And they quote certain aspects of the Old Testament. But they didn't get the message, they didn't get the the covenant that Jesus set forth when he walked the earth. And that covenant was the golden rule applies to everybody. He used the example of the Good Samaritan. Man, we all learn this, as most Christians learn this in Sunday school, learn this at other times, the story of the Good Samaritan. This is not a story you're going to find in Judaism. This is a story, and you're going to find in Judaism a rejection of this idea. Because what Christ talks about is the Pharisees walking down the road. And by the way, Christ wasn't a Pharisee. He was called a teacher, which is the word for it, rabbi, but he wasn't a Pharisee. And if you're truly a Christian, you believe this, he's the Son of God, and the patronage or the patriarchy, which determines, right, that he's the Son of God, is actually not even a genetic one. Jesus was an adopted son of Joseph, of Mary's. God was the father of Jesus, according to Christian religion, according to whether you talk about Orthodox or whether you talk about Catholic or whether you talk about Greek Orthodox or whether you talk about Presbyterian or whether you talk about Lutheran or whether you talk about Evangelical. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus, in terms of a pure definition of the word, wasn't even Jewish. If you are a Christian, if you're not, you can argue that he lived in a Jewish environment. But Jesus, as Bart Ehrman, all the leading biblical scholars, and there's huge numbers of them, Jesus taught a message of anti-Judaism, what Judaism had become and corrupted to. The Pharisee walks down the road, and there's a fellow Jew that's wounded, presumably a fellow Jew, who is wounded, robbed, stripped, stolen from, beaten. And the Pharisee doesn't cross the road, doesn't even want to cross the street to help his fellow Jew. A Levite comes down the road of the Jewish priest class. He comes down the road. He doesn't help his fellow Jew. So Jesus asked the question in a beautiful debate with a Jewish lawyer. That's how it's described in the New Testament. With a Jewish lawyer. Boy, is that not a archetypical reality in America. Man, have they not taken over our legal system? My God, they're everywhere. Of course, you got to understand that more than 50% of the academia of Harvard and Harvard Law School produces more attorneys, but more judges and jurists. And I think people of great power in the American legal system become more, you know, everything from people who are running our injustice department, is that what we should call it? But it's like Jews and lawyers and Jews and powerful lawyers are so synonymous these days. That's how I can get decisions like the Supreme Court decision of 1989, which had such remarkable legal understanding and legal brilliance to note that, well, we can't have a nativity scene and we can't celebrate Christmas in the name of Christ. And we can't have Christmas carols in our schools. And we can't have any sort of prayer in school that's Christian prayer, because we can have separation of church and state. And we can't have Christian symbols, even at things like Christmas, which is a deep cultural relationship in our society for our people all over the world, including Europe and America. No, we can't even put up a Christian symbol. We can't even have something on, say, blessed, you know, Christmas, which is celebrating the birth of Jesus. Christ is born. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Of course not, because Jews as a religion don't believe in goodwill toward men. The New Testament says it so well in Thessalonians, where it says, and the Jews killed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the prophets, and despise all mankind, and drove us out. And keep us, well, they drove us out of the media till now they completely dominate it. They drove us out of banking, what there was, where they completely dominate with the most criminal banks on earth, like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan. Jesse, what's that guy who said JP Morgan? Oh, I remember. Diamond. He's a Greek, but he's really actually Jewish from Greece. But it's like, They did drive us out. And they do despise all mankind. They claim all the ADL puts out report after report after report how the entire world is anti-Semitic. The entire world. Jews like Michael Laitman of the Kabbalah Institute and these other intellectual Jews in an article in the Times of Israel, one of the 10 largest Jewish publications in the world. He says every Gentile, no matter what their race is, whether they're a Greek or a Roman, or for that matter, you know, a Scandinavian, an Anglo-Saxon, whatever, an Amerindian, or what we might say is called a Native American, or a Chinese person, or a Mongolian individual, or somebody from Singapore, or somebody from India, or somebody from Africa. They all have us listed as Gentiles, and Gentiles is not a good word for them. Same as Goyim. Goyim means the nations. That means the nations of the whole world. And he says that every Gentile just can't wait to kill all the Jewish babies. So they use this insane kind of, what's the word for it? Paranoia. Paranoia is a really big psychological problem. It's illusions of grandeur. Boy, if that's not saying, talking about Jews, what is? And paranoia is illusions of grandeur and feelings of persecution. They're always being persecuted for some way, for no reason. Maybe it's because people were reading and they got access to the Talmud and they found out. That's why the Talmud says anybody that would show the Talmud to non-Jews deserves death. Because, in fact, it's even said there that because if the Gentiles knew what we wrote about them, they'd kill us. They'd kill us all. They'd know that we hate their guts and we're trying to do everything we can. Jewish law, what Judaism became, was a religion that said you can do usury against Gentiles. Usury is a terrible thing, too, by the way. It's like loan sharking. Do you know how many people have been destroyed by usury? Four people, their house burns down or their crops fail. They try to feed their family. They need money. Jewish moneylenders come in and they say, oh, fine. I'll lend you money, get you back on your feet. But the interest rates are astronomical. But these people are just simple people. And pretty soon, they lose their house. They lose their land. They lose their property. Whether they're a poor peasant somewhere or whether they're an aristocratic landowner, same applies. Usury is a horrible thing. Maimonides was one of the leading Jewish writers in the Talmud, the Mishnah. And he says very clearly in there that usury is terrible. It is like biting. It destroys. And under no circumstances can Jews practice usury against another Jew. But, always a but. But, Jews, when they practice usury against the Gentile, that's a good thing. It strengthens the people of Israel, the people of the Jewish race. But Israel is not the Israel that Christ talked about or the New Testament talks about. It's not a spiritual Israel. It's a racial, ethnic Israel of genealogy. The New Testament says straight out, it's not your descent that gives you. So this totally eradicates any argument for so-called Christian Zionism. Because Christian Zionism thinks that Jews, because they're simply born Jewish in terms of their bloodline, whatever that means being Jewish, because there's lots of different ways to, you know, figure out what being Jewish is. Just because you're born Jewish, you get a free pass. You can do anything. The Ten Commandments were interpreted, according to Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian and you believe this, was interpreted to mean that when you say, thou shalt not kill, and that you shalt not steal, or bear witness against, false witness against thy neighbor, or covet the neighbor's wife, or whatever. It's the truth is that Jews that whole Ten Commandments was written in the frame of neighbors. When Leviticus says, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jews interpret that quotation as meaning fellow Jews. So the Ten Commandments, you and I, if you're raised as a Christian, as I was, a devout Christian, you know, we're raised as Christians, and we read the Ten Commandments. We believe that's God telling us that, yeah, killing a human being is wrong. Any human being, any man, woman, or child, that's wrong. Not just, you know, white people, or not just Jews, making it wrong. Anybody. But that's not the way Jews interpreted that. That's what Christ was talking about. That's what Christ was saying. He said, he asked his followers, what do you think my commandment is, my chief commandment? He says, actually, there's two in one, because he put two together. One is love God. And by the way, that God is a God of love and redemption and forgiveness and love, you know, forgives you. And I'm God, and I forgive you. I will die for you. I will give you a chance to remake your life instantly through faith. That's what Christianity says, really. And that is completely contrary to what Jews believe. In fact, basically, the Christian Zionist is not really a believer in God. He's a believer in Jews as God. It's like you've replaced God with Jews. The word of God for you is not important. If you believe in Christ, how can you be a Christian and then go against the very teachings of Jesus Christ himself and in favor of the Jewish establishment that not only crucified Christ 2,000 years ago, and you can't blame all Jews today for the fact that happened, but he was certainly crucified by the Jewish establishment, the Jewish elite, just like you have a Jewish elite today. And you got to remember, folks, just think about it for a second. There's been no institution on earth more anti-Christian than Judaism. And sickeningly anti-Christian. The Talmud says Jesus is being boiled in human excrement. There is a couple sages that disagreed with the idea that Jesus was being boiled in human excrement. For eternity, by the way, our Jesus Christ, this man who taught love and forgiveness and kindness, because he taught these things, Jews rejected him because Jews were Jewish supremacists who believed they were entitled to rule the world. But here's the situation, folks. The world. That's another thing Jesus said, by the way. I've come to save the world. To the ends of the world. All the people of the world. All the people of the world deserve the grace and forgiveness and kindness and love of God. It's a new covenant, folks. It's not the same as the old covenant. It's very different in many ways. Different laws. For instance, you know, Christians, you can eat shellfish. You can eat catfish. You can eat pig meat. You don't have to be circumcised. In fact, really, it's spoken more against than even passively. It's just amazing when you start looking into this aspect. Jesus went directly against so many of the Jewish laws. But he said, I came to fulfill the law, but in this sense, that the basis of the law that Jesus said represents God is a God of love, a God of forgiveness. I came to fulfill the law. It said, and they're quoting Jewish law, eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. He said, you can't look at things exactly that way, for God's sakes. On that basis, you can continually kill and murder and maim and hurt each other for eternity. They did this to you. You're going to do this to them back. You're going to, you know, do all these things that are so horrific. You know, half of the terrible genocides, more than half of the world, have all been justified by arguing that the enemy did it to them, so they've got the right to do it to them, you know, to us, that they, you know, the enemy of theirs did it to them, therefore they had the right to do it to their enemies. It's not what Jesus taught. He says that somewhere you got to de-escalate. Blessed are the peacemaker. Peacemakers, I guess. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's not what Israel is. And it certainly was nothing about supporting a Jewish political state, which is anti-Christian and anti-Christ. If you're a Jewish, you know, a so-called Christian Zionist, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You're not a believer in Christ. You're not a believer in the teachings of Christ. And you're actually anti-Christ because this is the same Jewish establishment that wants to build a new temple. And by the way, Christ says you don't need a new temple because my body's a temple. That's one of the basics of all Christianity. That you need to have no sacrifice. It's one thing the Jews wanted for a temple. They just love that shedding of blood on massive levels. Christ said, it's just my blood that can save you. That's all we have to shed. That's what we'll do. Because we're going to have a clean slate. This is the true will of God. Jews didn't like that. And the way they interpreted the old scriptures was, you know, you can enslave Gentiles, no problem. You can keep them as slaves forever. Ever and ever. The sad thing is that even some of these scriptures, which they themselves constitute and they defend in the Talmud, is stuff like, oh, you can sell your little girl. Imagine, does anybody out there listening believe that it would be remotely moral or the right thing to do? Would you sell your little baby into sex slavery? For life? Does anybody out there believe in this? Anybody that thinks that's truly the word of God? Christ said, bring, let the children come unto me. Anybody with so much as to make a child stumble needs to have a millstone, a huge, heavy rock or stone that was used in the mills of that do grinding and so forth of flour and stuff. And dropped to the bottom of the sea. He said, the children are the kingdom of God. And he made it, he went out of his way to say that there were no Greeks, there were no Jews, there were no Romans. There were no people in the world other than, you know, the people were defined in terms of their belief in God and their salvation, not according to who they were by their genetics, but by their faith. By their faith, not only in a loving God, but their faith, which is certainly Jesus Christ, who died for us and died for the whole world, by the way, the whole world. That's not just the Jews, obviously. But, and in fact, Judaism even provided for afterlife. These Jewish demented, and they've been Jewish programmed and manipulated. Christian Zionism didn't even hardly exist as any sort of real movement at all until after the Second World War, after all the Holocaust propaganda, when the Holocaust was kind of like a Jewish version of Jesus, except it wasn't the crucifixion of one person, it was crucifixion of Jews, supposedly, right? And therefore, that made them the holy ones. But there's no promise of afterlife from that, no promise of, you know, being kind to everybody. And they use, like Finkelstein talks about, they use the whole Holocaust as a weapon to commit their own Holocausts, their own mass murders, their own genocides. So I want to play you a little bit of a interesting, fascinating discussion by an amazing individual, Iverson, I think her name is. And she's talking about the mayoral race in New York. And it talks about this guy running for mayor
who's actually like, I think he's a Muslim, but of Indian descent. He's a Democrat. But you wait till you hear this stuff. And she points out that he's actually the same kind of person as MAGA. America has to come first. She says, in fact, she says in this talk, she says, you know, America first shouldn't even have to be discussed. It seems to be normal, natural. Everybody in every country certainly is fundamentally someone who says, put my country first. But that doesn't mean putting your country first, but it doesn't mean you have to hurt other people or genocide other people or rob other people or cheat other people or steal from other people, like Goldman Sachs's of the world. Which not only steal, they stole more from America than they stole from the rest of the world, but they were found guilty of stealing from a country called Malaysia, bankrupting even their educational system in that country. An international, massive criminal bribery conspiracy theme, which they were convicted of in federal court. No heads of Goldman Sachs went to jail. $4.5 billion came. And they've gotten almost $1 trillion in monies from the Federal Reserve, which 60% of the leaders of the Federal Reserve, but they've always controlled all of them because they also have their collaborators. Every occupying force, whether you're talking about the Moors in Spain or Portugal, or whether you're talking about the Ottoman Empire that controlled the Balkans, every occupying force and tyranny that was put on people always has collaborators, because you really can't control. You're not as going to be as numerous in those particular lands once you conquer them. You're not going to be as numerous as the other people there. So you have to have collaborators. That's what you are if you're a so-called Christian Zionist. You're not a Christian. You're not a defender of Jesus. You're a defender of the Antichrist. What does the New Testament describe as an Antichrist? The definition is this. It says, how do you recognize an Antichrist in the New Testament? It says, it's pretty easy to figure this out. All you do is just recognize when a person says, or a person has an opinion, that I'm of the Father, but not of the Son. He says, you must have the Son to have the Father. The Antichrist, that's how it was defined, Antichrist in the Bible. Lots of antichrists, I guess, in the Bible, is you, is those people who say they're of the Father, but not of the Son. It's exactly what the Jews say. They hate the Son. They despise the Son. As I said, they argue that the Son, Jesus Christ, was actually raised from the dead, not by God, but by Jewish magicians who burn him alive in human excrement for eternity. However, some Jewish scribes argue it's not excrement, it's semen. So there's a real discussion and debate among Jews about how Jesus Christ is being tortured forever by the Jewish scribes. Don't you understand what you're doing, folks, who you think you're a Christian, you think you're serving Christ? Or if you think you're being a human being, I know that there are decent people who are not Christians, but also who believe in treating people with the golden rule, with love and justice. Not saying we can treat them and lie to them. Now, what Iverson's going to go into, too, is this man running for mayor in New York. That's amazing, and it shows you how the worm is turning. People are really beginning to understand things. And, you know, he's not a Christian. You know, neither are the Jews that run Google, neither are the Jews that run MSNBC, one of the biggest media corporations on earth, which is Comcast, who own it. Not Google, Sergey Brin and Larry Page. Not Meta with Zuckerberg. We can keep going on. Five biggest corporations on the planet are Jews. And the rest of these other organizations are in partnership with the Jews, even the ADL, to suppress freedom of speech. Let's play some of this here. This is really interesting. This is a situation where this candidate is going on the news, and they're giving a lot of trouble, but listen to what he says.
Currently the only candidate using the term genocide to describe what's going on in the war between Israel and Hamas. You realize a lot of people stop listening when you use a hot-button term like that. I'm wondering how, as a candidate, if elected as a mayor, you would conduct that conversation in a city that really cares about these issues.
You know, I have strived to ensure that my language is driven by fact. And what we have found is that so many experts on the term itself and on the history of the use of that term have found it to be a correct application. And so I do not disagree in that this is a highly charged issue and the use of the term, but I do believe it is the most accurate description of what is going on. And what we've also found is that a majority of Democrats believe that that is the correct term.
Yeah, well, he's clearly correct, right? Because he just defeated Andrew Cuomo in the Democratic primary. So this is sending Democrats a message, isn't it? They're holding on to MAGA, just like the right-wing party is as well. And Democrats have just handed them their asses and said, nope, we are not going in that direction anymore. We don't agree with you. You established.
Isn't this beautiful? She points out that these people believe in MAGA, not MAGA. And that's so true. One of the greatest betrayals we've ever seen. Let's hope we can bring him back into the... to what his promises are to us, but he promised us MAGA, make America great again, but America first. She talks about the fact that even putting America first is like something that the fact it's so not true anymore, that America is not put first by our own elected representatives, a foreign country is, and you're going to hear more on that in just a second here, and you're going to read all these candidates for mayor in New York, they all got asked, well, you know, where are they going to go to first? Where's the first people they're going to go visit when they win election to become mayor of New York City? And every one of them answers, the first place they're going to go is Israel. I'm going to go to Israel. That's where I got to go when I get elected mayor of New York. Talk about worshiping a foreign emperor or foreign power, an alien power. How can you get worse than that? Let's play some more.
Establishment shills have been doing things behind our backs, not without our consent, and we're not going along with it anymore. And they handed him a referendum. And that is, this is the future of the Democratic Party. You can bet that from here on out, a lot of candidates, I would say, will fail in the Democratic primaries if they are Israel first. And why shouldn't they? In fact, every candidate...
And MAGA will fail. Of course, the Jews tried to take over the Republican Party years ago. And this was actually done by Jewish communists. I mean, literally open Jewish communists like Leo Strauss, big supporter of Leon Trotsky. In fact, they even talk about how they have these conferences and meetings and parties and all these Jewish MAGA people, not MAGA people, but what they call neoconservatives. They talk about the good old days when they were supporting Leon Trotsky, the first head of the Red Army that killed the Russian Christian Tsar and all of his family and millions of Christians in Russia. Yeah, that's true. Everything's turned upside down, folks.
Should fail if they're Israel first. It's kind of odd that we even have to have the slogan, America first.
This woman's great. Kim Iverson. She's great.
Why do we even need this slogan? Shouldn't that just be obvious? Shouldn't that be unsaid? Why do you even need to say it out loud? America first. That should just be a no-brainer. That should be that's the norm. But instead, it has to be stated, it has to be focused on, and we have to get politicians to actually denounce the foreign government that has taken over and completely infiltrated and couped our current government. And it's not really even a coup. Our government officials gladly handed it over.
Well, they gladly handed it over with blackmail, with infiltration, with lies, with bribery. You got to also blame the people that did the corruption. It's like you've got to really talk about the factors that involved itself there. And by the way, it's not just a foreign nation of Israel or some people like Netanyahu. Netanyahu has taken over our government. It's Jewish supremacism has taken over our government. And the EU and the international media and so much of international banking, and the United States State Department, as revealed and studied and documented by people like none other than Jeffrey Jeffrey. I keep thinking of Jeffrey Epstein. Is that, was that his name? Yeah, the guy that ran the Mossad spy ring. Jeffrey Sachs. That's his name. Jeffrey Sachs. So the same people gave us the Ukraine war are the same people who gave us the war in Iraq, a war that killed thousands of Americans, thousands of Americans' blood, tens of thousands were wounded, maimed, brain damage, and many other issues, horrible conditions. Many other marriages were destroyed by the long separations. And you combine the long separations with a media, you know, with programs on television like Desperate Housewives and stuff. I mean, the moral degeneration of the country, which is another aspect of Hollywood, the shadow America, which became the essence of the real America, as, by the way, a Jew by the name of Neil Gabler points out, is the title of his book, An Empire of the Own, where he says the shadow America, these Jews, who were, by the way, he didn't say this, but the fact is that Jews have been the leading purveyors of pornography. And they have Jews who are main pornographers who are cited by Jewish scholars and Jewish professors. And for instance, this Abrams. This fellow, Nathan Abrams, is a Jewish professor. He wrote an article called Triple Ethnics. And he quotes Jewish pornographers like Al Goldstein saying, well, the reason we promote pornography is because we think Christ sucks, because we basically hate wasps and we want to, you know, destroy them. We know it's subversive and it destroys people. That's why we support pornography. And they do support pornography, 1/5 of the world's population. These are the reasons for, quote, anti-Semitism. Because if you say something like Semitism, or you say something like anything, you've got to, you've got to define what it is. And the truth is, the Jewish establishment globally overwhelmingly supports a genocide in Gaza, overwhelmingly supports the war in Ukraine. Now, why do they support the war in Ukraine? Against Russia and against Ukrainians, because the Ukrainians are dying for no purpose. In fact, the Jews and everything and the people that control our government are constantly saying things like, well, we got to go fight them there. Yeah, let the Ukrainians die so we don't have to Americans, to die. And if it's Americans dying, let me tell you, the percentage of Jews that are among those Rangers or American fighting men who are going to be dying and bleeding and losing their arms and legs and limbs and balls in these kind of terrible fights, they're not Jews. And when you talk about this thing with Israel or Zionism, it's like Norman Finkelstein says. He says it clearly. He says, I don't like to use the term Zionist or anti-Zionist because it's not defined enough. No, the main reason for the reason, the problem, is not because of simply quote-unquote Zionism. It's because of Jewish supremacism. And he said, man, by the way, in fact, one of the lectures I saw him give, he said, well, it's a brilliant term. And this guy in Israel, who was a great physicist, one of the most brilliant people in the world. And one thing about physicists and one thing about brilliant people is they can kind of boil down a lot of complex issues and make it really clear and make it really, and do it in a way that's just using the right words, elucidate so much light and so much truth that people can instantly recognize. And this guy, who was a member of B'Tselem, made up the term Jewish supremacism. Zonk! Wrong answer, contestants. It wasn't this Jewish physicist. But thanks for the compliment, Norman. Because I'm the first person, and I had a huge audience, and do have still a huge audience in the world, hundreds of millions of people read my books, who first used the term powerfully called Jewish supremacism. It was me. Me, myself, and I. Jewish supremacism. And I did that because I know the Jews had weaponized this term white supremacy, even though I've never really met any white supremacists, not in the real sense. Never like Jewish supremacists. I've never met a single person say we should go kill all the, you know, black babies and children and or any other people like that. I never had any idea like that. I've always believed in a Christian attitude toward other people and tried to treat people fairly and decently. I've even not been a supporter of any sort of racial discrimination. I mean, if you pay your taxes and you're for government, you shouldn't be discriminated against in terms of a government program or in a university supported by taxpayer money. The best qualified should get the job or the promotion or the scholarship or the college admission or whatever. That's all true. That was the basis of my campaigns. Equal rights for all, special privilege for none. And one thing they knew I was talking about when I said special privilege for none was no more special privilege for these Jews. Let's go further here.
Zoran, this is one of his more polished advertisement campaigns.
We all wanted to defeat Donald Trump, and New York felt like a lock. But in many ways, this election, Trump's back on the ballot. We have a choice between Andrew Cuomo, funded by the same billionaires who put Donald Trump back in the White House, and our campaign, who will tax billionaires to make the city affordable. It's a referendum on where our party goes. So in just this one instance, ask yourself, WWDFGD, what would a disgraced former governor do? Well, Cuomo changed his registration immediately after not having lived here for more than 30 years. So if he's voting from his new address, so should you. With just single digits between us and Andrew Cuomo, your vote can make the difference. You have until June 14th, this Saturday, to change your registration in New York City. So head to ZohranForNYC.com/vote. Let's win this thing.
Okay, here he is.
Is the struggle for dignity, and every single one of us that is committed to dignity in Greenpoint has to be committed to dignity in Gaza. Every single one of us to make justice in Greenpoint and to be fighting for justice.
Yeah, justice for Palestine. Now, understand, folks, I want to make this crystal clear for all of you who are just learning about this question for maybe the first time, even today, listening to this broadcast. Maybe somebody sent it to you. Somebody gave you a link for it. I don't know. But I want to make something clear to you, all right? The same Jews who are committing the slaughter, and I believe, of tens of thousands of Palestinian children, in fact, hundreds of thousands of Palestinian children, men and women, these are not, they're not even a majority of Hamas people. They're not even a small portion. They're a tiny portion of the people who've been murdered. It's a very packed, you know, place. And the people who died in Ukraine have mainly been Ukrainians and a lot of Russians too. And why is that? Why are these people Jeffrey Sachs singles out, the same people who gave us the Ukraine war or the same people who gave us the Iraq war? He names them. It's the same people. They're all Jewish neocons. And every single leading person that he names was a Jew and part of this Jewish extremist elite, these Jewish supremacists. LGBTQism, a lot of you realize how insane this has been, destructive and insane. It's been a Jewish movement from the very beginning. It was in many ways started by the Frankfurt School, even back in Germany. It's one of the reasons why Nazis didn't like Jews, because of the LGBTQism and the child trafficking that went on in the Weimar Republic, and the corruption there, and the banking frauds and everything that went on there by the Jewish power structure. I mean, we can just keep going. The same people who opened our borders, the same people who drove, you know, the Jewish migration to ethnically cleanse the Palestinian people, are the same people who opened the borders of America to non-traditional Americans. 90% of our population, most of the 20th century, were European Americans. They didn't like that. They openly said they wanted to change that demographic so no Nazi power, no racist power can come to power. The same Jews, by the way, opposed were the ones that overwhelmingly supported, including the Jewish conservatives, like are now supposed, you know, trying to control the Republican Party, like Shapiro, like Glenn. Thank God Tucker's revealed this about some people. You know, these Mark... I mean, these were all never Trumpers. That's what Tucker said the other day. They're on Fox News every day. They were never Trumpers. They hated Trump because Trump said he wanted to protect the borders. On that, he was right about it, but he's backpedaling on that now, too. But the main thing is none of this would happen. None of these things. The same people who want the Gaza genocide or the war narrative and all these other issues, who the banking robbery of the American people through the Federal Reserve and the rest of it, the same Jews are running these things. It's the same people. It's global. It's not even just about Israel, but it is about Israel as well. And it's sickening to see this, not worship of humanist values or Christ or simply even secular people that simply believe in human rights. I believe in human rights. And I'm a Christian as well because I love the teachings of Jesus Christ. Treat everybody decently. Don't cheat, rob, steal, hurt, harm, rape people. But these Jewish extremists don't share the beliefs that you Christians have. If you want to be a Christian, so-called Christian Zionist, okay, make that decision, but just read and learn and read the testimonies of Christ. Read the New Testament itself. Read the New Covenant, and it says really clearly that the Jewish establishment are the enemies of Jesus, the enemies of God. Not saying all Jews, but there's got to be a new covenant, and that new covenant was established by Christ, and that's what I support. I love y'all. Go to davidduke.com and go to my Gab at Real David Duke, and go to my Odyssey at Real David Duke. Watch my video of my debate with Alex Jones, for instance. You'll really be entertained and enjoy that. I love you, and I'll be back again tomorrow with Mark Collett. He'll be back on Friday tomorrow. Bye-bye now.